Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Vanderbilt in Arkansas. Can't wait to get their first conference win. And they better. No winless conference teams in the SEC since 1953-54 season. It was Georgia Tech. LSU, Florida. We got a sneaky good matchup there. Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, talking sports wagering. Todd, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing well. Thankfully, a little bit better than Vanderbilt's hoops programs are doing this season, both on the men's and women's side. Hopefully, we're not talking about all-time records for futility in both those genders.
I mean, 16 wins between those two.
Not exactly ideal. You have to wonder from the men's side how much different things would have been if they had Darius Garland out there. But clearly,
yes.
You'd love to see them get off the schneid and get a win outright as underdog tonight, catching two at home against the Razorbacks.
Yeah, so what do you think about that matchup?
It's a tough game to try and figure out. When you look at Arkansas, not exactly a team that's openly embraced the road favorite role. They haven't been great away from Fayetteville at all this season, or really any of the last couple of years. Vanderbilt, though, has been a very difficult team for me to try and figure out. So while I had this spot circled from a betting perspective, I'm not quite sure I have the guts or the gumption to try and back Vandy. But I think if you have to bet the game, the only way to look would be towards the home underdog.
At Todd Furman on Twitter. I like it. Go Vandy. You sounded really confident.
Yes.
As confident as I can be in this battle between two SEC hoops powerhouses.
Well, LSU and Florida tonight, certainly Vol fans would love to see LSU drop one to the Gators.
And I think there's an excellent chance that could happen here. You look at Florida, and they had been playing much better basketball up until they stubbed their toe over the weekend, losing outright as double-digit favorites against Georgia. First meeting between these two teams, as we know all too well, Florida held on for dear life in overtime, winning that game 82-77. I think we could see more of the same here. The Gators need a resume-building win. A season sweep against LSU would go a long way in terms of bolstering their bubble candidacy. Don't be surprised if Florida moves from a pick'em out to a 1.5-point favorite before this game tips. I like the Gators to bounce back with a big win and help Tennessee in the process.
Who are your four top seeds right now, Todd?
For me, when I look at the field, I think Gonzaga, number one seed, even if they were to lose in the conference tournament, I mean, they're on that number one line. Virginia, two losses, all regular season, both coming to Duke, even if they bowed out early. They get the nod there as well. And then I think it's open. You look at Tennessee, Kentucky, most likely one of those two teams will find themselves there. When you look at Kentucky, their candidacy gets hurt a little bit if Reed Travis isn't back. And then for me, I still think we're going to see Duke get up on that line. Zion Williamson plays this weekend against UNC, or there's even a shadow or an inkling that he'll be back to be a member of the Blue Devils at some point this postseason. Duke gets up there as well. So two from the ACC, the West Coast Conference, and that fourth number one still remains up in the air between two SEC schools, in my opinion.
So what if Zion doesn't come back and there's an inkling he's not coming back, period?
Well, if Coach K is smart, he's going to play this like a poker hand and not let anybody know that Zion isn't coming back until we know exactly where Duke is seated. Then maybe share, well, you know what, Zion's decided for the betterment of his future and his NBA prospects, he won't be a member of the Blue Devils going forward. Because if Zion isn't part of Duke, there's no way this team, given what we've seen over the last couple of games, deserves to be on the number one seed line. You know, they had a fight tooth and nail to avoid an upset as a 24.5-point favorite last night against Wake. We saw them last Tuesday struggle on the road in Blacksburg against Virginia Tech. So if Zion was out of the picture and then North Carolina won the ACC conference tournament and completed the season sweep of Duke, I wouldn't be surprised at all if North Carolina gets there. I don't see a team coming out of the Big Ten. Michigan and Michigan State haven't done enough for me down the stretch. I think both those teams will be firmly entrenched as number two seeds.
Todd Furman, our guest. The NFL Combine just wrapped up, and everybody seemed okay with what Kyler Murray did, except for Charlie Casserly, who also yelled, "Get off my lawn, you kids." is Kyler Murray still the favorite as the number one overall draft pick?
He is indeed the favorite. You have to put up $2 to make $1 at betonline.ag if you want to back Kyler to be the number one pick in the draft. Nick Bosa behind him is 3-2. These numbers, of course, a far cry from what you would have found about 6 weeks ago, where the over-under on Kyler Murray's draft position was 19.5. I think when you look at the overall talent pool at the quarterback position coming into this year's draft, Kyler has a very unique skill set. Dwayne Haskins, of course, more a pro-style passer. I think he'll end up going to the top 10, but not before Kyler comes off the board. And then you see a major drop-off to the likes of Will Greer, Daniel Jones, and, of course, when you look at the rest of the situation, I just don't see any of those guys being real franchise quarterbacks, aside from probably Haskins and Kyler Murray.
Did anybody leave the combine, Todd, with significantly higher odds of moving up any draft boards, you know, their performance in Indianapolis?
I think it's a question of when you believe that skill position players are going to start to go off the board. We know DK Metcalf looked like a combine monster with his tremendous 40 speed, what he was able to do on the bench press. You just wonder about a guy that big and what his lateral quickness will look like trying to translate it to the football field. Some of the mock drafts have him going ninth, whereas you probably wouldn't have had him pegged more than anything in the top 20 when the regular season came to an end. But aside from that, I think what will be more interesting is to see where the over-unders get set on offensive versus defensive players. This draft class feels like you have a lot more impact players on the defensive side of the ball capable of going in the top 10 than you do from the offensive perspective.
Sometimes we talk about player value with regard to NFL games and how much quarterbacks are worth point spread-wise. Is it difficult to do that in college basketball, or can you frame that up for a Zion Williamson at Duke?
No, you definitely can, and you're going to find differing opinions on what Zion means to Duke. For me, it's about a 4.5 to 5 point adjustment, and I think there'll be some value if Zion does come back initially, because you'd have to imagine he's on a minutes restriction or a little bit rusty with conditioning being a concern. But that's a major change, because Duke with Zion is favored over every team in the country, whereas if you back 5 points off of their number, you're talking about being underdogs to Virginia and Gonzaga on a neutral. Games against Tennessee and Kentucky would be much closer to pick 'em, and I actually would lean towards making both those teams from the SEC favorite over Duke. And Duke goes from being a top three team, in my opinion, if not number one with Zion healthy, to a fringe top 16 overall. So you're talking about a major change as far as gambling outlook is concerned when you're going to go into battle for the biggest games of the year, potentially without the number one pick in the draft.
In terms of winning the national title, where are we in terms of the favorites?
You haven't seen movement on Duke, as books have been pretty cautious about dropping their odds, because if Zion did come back, you wouldn't want to create some unnecessary liability.
Right.
Where you've seen bigger movement is on the other teams around them, poised to be the beneficiary of a Zion absence. So what that's meant for the draft board, you've seen, or for the futures board, you've seen Virginia go from 10-1 down to 6-1, Gonzaga from about 8-1 down to 6-1 as well. Duke, as we said, remains the 2-1. And then a real logjam with the Kentuckys, North Carolinas, Michigan States of the world, all priced in that 12-15-1 range. Tennessee nestled in there as well. And then you see a drop to some of the teams like a Purdue, Texas Tech, Kansas State, all in that 20 or 30-1 range.
Hey, Todd, on the way out, the NASCAR awards are, like Sheryl Crow once saying, leaving Las Vegas, and they're coming to Nashville. Are you going to be okay with that?
You know what? I think when you look at its proximity to Charlotte and the heart of the NASCAR community, the attendance may be a little bit better, but it has been one of the more well-received events out here, especially for a NASCAR fan like myself. But, Mickey, I'm more than happy to sacrifice the awards if it means we keep that second race on the calendar. The real question is, when are you guys going to get a race closer to Nashville than what you have in Bristol?
I was hoping you would tell me that, too, while you were on.
Todd, real quick, crazy AB talk will likely end by Friday. Oakland, that's where he ends up?
Well, they're the favorite, but I think it's a curious move for the Raiders, who have so many other areas of concern they need to address. San Francisco makes logical sense. The Titans, from an on-field perspective, do as well. I'm just not sure if Coach Vrabel is ready to deal with the headaches that Antonio Brown brings in, but he would make a great 1-2 tandem opposite Corey Davis. A team, though, that I don't think anybody's talking about that really doesn't have a bona fide number one, but has a tremendous quarterback. I wouldn't rule out Carolina maybe being a dark horse. They've been awfully quiet. He would give Cam Newton that number one wide receiver that he so desperately lacked over the last couple of seasons.
Good stuff, Todd. Appreciate you, man. We'll talk with you next week, brother.
Always a pleasure. Enjoy the big games tonight and coming up this weekend.